do ask that you pray for me the time that I stand before you. It's always a great joy for me to be able to come to Union. I know that the times that I've been able to come have been few and far between since Sharon and I have been married, but every time that I'm able to come, I count it a great joy. We made a trip down this weekend for her birthday. Not going to tell you how old she is, because I do want to survive the trip home, but I do tell you that that's the reason that we're here. It's a great joy to be able to worship. It was an even bigger treat to see Luke and his family come in, be able to stand with him, be able to speak in the Lord's name with him this morning. You're all family to me and dear friends, and so I do ask that you pray. If you have your Bibles and you'd like to read with me, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, the Lord be our helper this morning where our mind is led. There's a couple of phrases here in verse 44 through 46 that we'd like to consider. Matthew chapter 13, beginning with verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So there's two things in these verses. Number one is, what is found is of great value. Number two, when it is found, the person that finds it sacrifices all that they have to possess it. Now, these are two important facts. So, the Lord tells us that the kingdom of heaven, the Lord tells us in the New Testament that the kingdom of heaven is within you. The kingdom of heaven, because you are subjects of the King. You're subjects of God Himself. And as subjects of the kingdom of heaven is within your soul. It's within your being. But He said that they finds it. That visible kingdom, this value, this object of great value, is the visible New Testament church kingdom. It is the assembly of the saints to find that great truth, that where the truth is held, where the truth is proclaimed, where the truth is lived. He said that when they find it, they sacrifice all that they have. That means that they give up what they want. They gave up what they had. They gave themselves up to be able to have possession of the kingdom of heaven. And that's what we as disciples, what we as children of God, what the Lord expects of us is to give ourselves up in order for us to experience the kingdom of heaven, to experience the New Testament church, as the Lord has given it to us. And we, if you have found it, if you have found the place where the truth is proclaimed, and we trust this morning that we have, if you found it, the expectation that God has for us is that we are to give up ourselves that we may possess what He's given us. Now, it's great value. What makes this pearl, what makes this treasure have such great value? You know, one of the things that Sharon and I did this weekend is we went down to the French Quarter, and, you know, on Royal Street, they have all these antique stores. And in these antique stores, they have all these, as men say, old antiques. Some, you know, and the oldest ones that I saw were about 300 years old or more. And they really value those antiques. You know, as I go through and look at it and see the prices that they put on them, every single one of them were priced out of my budget range. I mean, be honest, that they value them highly. Why do they value them? Because they're rare, because they're old, and because they think somebody else wants to buy them. You know, something's only, the value of a possession is only what somebody will pay for it. And so they value them. Men value things that were made by men's hands in different ways. What makes this of such great value? It's not that it's made with men's hands, because what we have today is not made with men's hands. What we have today is not made, it's not made of wood, it's not made of stone, it's not made of gold, it's not made of silver. It's not made of anything that man has that's on this earth, but it's made by God Himself. And what gives this pearl, what gives this treasure such great value is not you and me, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that the Lord Jesus told us in Matthew 16, He told Peter, He said, "For thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." What did Jesus build His church on? He built it on Himself. He built it on the truth that He's the Son of God. He built it on His work in saving you from your sins. And that, my friends, is what gives the New Testament church its value, is the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't get its value from you and me. It doesn't get its value from what we are or what we do. But the New Testament church receives its value. It has its value in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's accomplished and who He is and in what He has given to us. That's where the value is. That's why it's worth giving up all that we have. That's why it's worth sacrificing ourselves. That's why it's worth sacrificing what we want in this life to be able to be a part of it and to possess it and to experience it, is because the Lord Jesus Christ is worth it. But it's of great value. Solomon wrote in the Proverbs chapter 17, he said, and let's go and read that real quick, rather than me trying to quote it to you. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 17. And we're going to see that Solomon tells us a little bit about something that's of great value. Proverbs 17, we'll get over there to it. Proverbs 17 and 8. Proverbs 17 and 8. He says, "A gift is as a precious stone in the eyes of him that hath it. Whithersoever it turneth, it prospereth." A gift. The New Testament church is a gift that is given to you. You as the child of God, you as a subject of the King, it is a gift that God has given to you. But the value in it, he said, a gift is as a precious stone. Now, the gifts that God gives us, we find in the New Testament that the gifts of God are without repentance. The gifts that God has given, He doesn't take back. He doesn't take back eternal life. He doesn't take back being born of the Spirit of God. He doesn't take back the New Testament church. He doesn't take back anything that He's given to His children. He doesn't say, "No, it's not yours anymore." He doesn't take it back. And as we look at it, it can prosper. It's like a precious stone. You know, as I said, in those antique stores, every one of them had jewelry. And in that jewelry, they had precious stones, whether it was diamonds or opals or rubies. And every one of those precious stones had great value. I told Sharon, I said, "It makes me realize how poor of a man I actually am when I look at these prices for these precious stones." But if you look in those stones, they have multiple dimensions to them. If you stick them up in the light, you can see all the different beauties of that stone. Any way you turn it, it's beautiful. And you see the value in it. Well, see, children, the house of God is like that. The house of God is like that precious stone. If you would, in your mind, if you stick it up in the light, you can see all the different beauties of it, the different dimensions of it, the different parts of the grace of God. Eternal life is like that. So let's think about some of the different dimensions of eternal life, and then we'll think about some of the dimensions of the house of God. So as we turn the gifts of God, because eternal life is a gift of great price. As you turn it, you see that it's free, but it's not free. It's free to you because you didn't earn it, because you didn't gain it, because you didn't do anything to make God give it to you. It's free to you. And that's the beauty of it. That's the value of it to you, is because it didn't cost you anything, but it is so precious, it is so valuable. Why? It's not free, because it cost the blood of Jesus. Because it cost the life of the Son of God, the life of the Lamb of God. It cost so much that you and I can't begin to imagine in our minds that how much it cost for Jesus to save us from our sins, to save us from the wrath to come, to save us from the wrath of Almighty God. You and I can't begin to imagine what that cost. But it's free to you. Thank God this morning that as you turn it and you say, hey, I see that the blood of Jesus was what was required for my soul. I see that, as Peter said, for I'm not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Those rubies and those diamonds and those jewels and those antique shops, they can't buy my soul. They can't ransom me. They can't pay the wrath of God. As David said there in Psalm 49, he said, for man cannot ransom his own soul. He can't pay the redemption price with rubies and with diamonds and with gold and silver. I can't buy my sins. I can't pay for them by my own ability. I can't take something made with men's hands and pay for my own soul. I see as I hold it up, I see as I hold up eternal life, that it took the very blood of the Lamb of God. It took Him hanging on that tree crying, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? See it, child, as God is telling you and me, it was you that He was there for. It was your sin and your mistakes and your faults and your failures and your wretchedness that He was hanging there for, and His blood was shed for, and His life was given for. And I see the value in it. I see the value in it. And I want to hold it close. And I want to appreciate and honor it. But then I turn it another way. And I see that it doesn't decay. You know, that's the thing about those antiques that are made with men's hands. They decay. You know, they had some old papers in the museums that we went to. And those papers were so old, over 300 years old. They were so old that you couldn't even see the handwriting. Hardly could see the handwriting in them anymore. And in those antiques, you know, the wood and the wooden antiques that they have, they just rot with time. We stayed in a historic hotel. And the hotel was over 200 years old. And you could see in that hotel that they had iron rods driven through the walls to hold the building together, because it was decaying. It was sinking and decaying. Things that men make, they decay. They rot. Why? Because we live in a sin-cursed world. But when I hold up eternal life, when I hold up that precious stone, when I hold up that gift that God has given, and I see it doesn't decay, it doesn't rot, it doesn't fade, it doesn't ruin, it doesn't change at all, because the Lord tells us in His Word, for I am God and I change not, therefore you sons of Jacob are not consumed. Peter said that the hope we have that's in heaven, that it fades not away, that it's reserved in heaven for you, that that, my friends, that God has done, that precious gift that God has given you, it's called eternal for a reason. That it does not go away, that it does not change, that it does not rot. Praise God this morning that life that God has given you in Jesus Christ does not rot. Turn it another way. What do I see? What do I see in eternal life? I see the Spirit. I see the Comforter. I see the value that God has placed in you. You see, the great thing about eternal life is that I can see the value that God has placed in Jesus. But then when I turn it and I see the value that God has placed in me, not that you and I deserve it, not that we deserve for God to value us, but the Lord tells us in Isaiah chapter 42, or 43, sorry, in Isaiah 43, when He's talking to Israel and He tells them, He said, "Since thou wast precious in my sight." Do you imagine that this morning, friends? Can you imagine that you are precious and valuable in the sight of Almighty God? That you're of great price and of great value to the God of heaven? That He looks upon you with love and with admiration and with kindness. That He looks upon you as one of great value to Him. Why? For Jesus' sake. He looks upon you with great value because of His love that He has for you. And that it's an everlasting love that He has for you. And that it doesn't change in the value that's in it. The reason that you are valuable in the sight of God is because of His Son. But this value that I have. Now, in the house of God, you have value in eternal life, but you also have value in the house of God. Now turn with me. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter tells us. He talks to those that have like precious faith. Value in your faith. Your faith is valuable because God has given it to you. And every gift that God gives is of great value. God's given you faith, the ability to trust in Him, the ability to believe on and in Him, the ability to follow Him. And we have that in common this morning. Not only do we have the faith that's given in the new birth, it's given when God warns us of His Spirit, but we have the faith that's found in the gospel that declares to us the Lord Jesus Christ, that declares to us the truth of Jesus, that we trust in Jesus, that we trust in His work and His power and His love and what He's taught us to do. He tells us in verse 3, He says, "According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness." So this gift that God has given us is not only to tell us about eternal life, not only to tell us about the great value that's in eternal life and that fact that Jesus died for your soul, the fact that it doesn't change, and the fact that His love, it never changes, it never fades, and the fact that God has put great value on you and in you. Not only has He told us about our life that is reserved in heaven, but He's told us about godliness. How to live like Jesus. He said this, He said in verse 4, He said, "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through us." You see, friends, we don't have to wait to heaven to be a partaker, to take part in our divine nature. We don't have to wait for heaven to take part in this eternal life that God's given us. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven to experience the sweetness and the value of eternal life and the value of what God has done for us. We can experience it here and now. That's that pearl of great price. That's that treasure hid in that field. It's the New Testament church where where you can experience the beauties and the power and the joys and the great value of eternal life that you have been given of God. You can experience it here in the kingdom now. Amen. He said He's given us precious promises. What are those promises? Number one is, He said He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He said that I'll be with you. He said when you go through the fires, I'll be with you. When you go through the rivers, He said I'll be with you. When you're in the valleys and on the mountaintop, He said I'll be with you. When you're suffering and when you're in joy and happiness in times of joy and times of sadness, He said I will be there with you. He promised Paul, He said, that my grace is sufficient. God's promised you, friends, that He'll be there, that His grace is sufficient for whatever you need, for whatever you're dealing with. He'll be there and give you what you need. He said that we can experience the divine nature now. And here's how. Here's how you can value that pearl of great price. Here's how you can value that treasure hid in the field. He said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Now, Peter's not telling you and me that our faith is defective. He's not telling us that our faith is not what it should be, or that we've got to improve on what God's done to us. No. Peter's telling him, he said, I've seen your faith. I've seen your faith visibly displayed. I've seen you show your faith. He said, now, I want to see you show these other characteristics that God has given you the ability to show. He said, add your faith virtue. What is virtue? Virtue is a backbone. You got a backbone. You got a solid constitution. It means that you don't move. Now, it doesn't mean that you're unreasonable and stiff-necked and hard-hearted. No. It means that you don't move when it comes to the principles of Jesus Christ. It means that you don't move on the fact that your eternal life is by the grace of God and that alone. It means that you don't move on the fact that the house of God, that the entrance into the house of God is the believer's baptism, that it is by immersion. It means that you don't move on the principles of marriage and the principles of the worship service. It means that you don't move on the fact that we must be a repentant people, that we must be a praying people. It means that we don't move on the basic principles of God's Word. We need a backbone in today's society. We need to be a people that are stuck and don't move, that don't move with the tides of this world. Whatever this world society that you and I live in, we don't need to move with it. We need to stay put in God's Word. After virtue, he says, knowledge. You know, I realize that we don't know everything that we need to know. I don't know everything about the pearl of great price. I don't know everything about the treasure of the New Testament kingdom. I don't know everything about Jesus Christ. I need to be learning more and more about Him every day. And how am I going to do that? By praying? By sticking my head in here? And not just reading it, but meditating. You know, it takes more than just reading the words. You got to read the words, pray about the words, consider the words, try the words against the words, to learn about what the Word says. You have to work. Add knowledge, because God's not, as the saying goes, God's not going to open your head and pour knowledge in. He's not. Not even for us preachers, He's not. To add to your faith, or to your virtue, knowledge. And he said to knowledge, temperance. What is temperance? Temperance is self-control. Part of knowledge is knowing what your weaknesses are. Knowing what you need to control. What do I need to control? I need to control my tongue. I need to control my mind. I need to control my hands. I need to control my feet. I need to control me. Do you know what your weaknesses are? Do you know where you're weak in the flesh? Do you know where the devil's going to attack you? Weaknesses. Now, there's a lot more I could say this morning. But the reason that the house of God is a pearl of great price is because when you come to the house of God, you're going to hear that you're a sinner. You're going to hear your weaknesses. You're going to hear about how you can overcome your weaknesses. And you're not going to hear that out there. What you're going to hear out in this world is you're the greatest thing since sliced bread. That you're your own king. That you're your own God. That you're your own, you know, it's your life. You can do what you want with it. You ain't going to hear that in the house of God. And you don't, as a child of God, need to hear that. You don't need to hear to build up your ego. You need to be humbled. I need to be humbled. Because when I'm not, when we're not, when we're not humbled, then guess what? We end up sitting on a housetop like David was, looking at somebody we shouldn't be looking at and getting ourselves into serious trouble. We need to know our weaknesses. We need to look at the pearl and look at the gifts that God's given us. Value, appreciate, and then serve the Lord. I thank y'all for kind attention.